afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. A warm welcome on EBC Radio, Aapki Choice. Today we have a very special guest in the studio. We will be talking to Dr. Rajat Banerjee. He is the Chief of Hematologic Malignancies at Rutgers Cancer Institute of New Jersey, which together with Robert Wood Johnson Barnabas Health is the state's only National Cancer Institute designated comprehensive cancer center. Dr. Banerjee has been at Rutgers Cancer Institute since 2012, following 6 years of conducting clinical research in drug development in the pharmaceutical industry. Prior to joining industry, he was a hematologist oncologist on active duty in the U.S. Army at Madigan Army Medical and Walter Reed Army Medical Center. He completed an internship and residency in internal medicine at the Johns Hopkins Hospital after obtaining a PhD and MD from Cornell. Dr. Banerjee treats patients with leukemia and lymphomas and is at the forefront of clinical research to treat these diseases. So warm welcome on EBC Radio, Dr. Banerjee. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
It's an honor, Doctor. So cancer had been so scary disease. It's just the word hearing, it makes you a little fearful, right? So we are so grateful to you for your service for this cancer treatments.
Thank you.
So, Doctor, now I want to ask you a few questions and to educate our listeners. So what are hematologic malignancies and what are some of the symptoms?
Sure. I think often people do not know what the hematologic malignancies are. They may have been more familiar with what we call solid tumors, breast cancer, lung cancer, things like that. But the hematologic malignancies are simply the blood cancers. And these fall into the categories of leukemia. And we have some very aggressive leukemias. We call those acute leukemias. We have more slow-growing leukemias. We call those chronic leukemias. Also, there are the diseases that we call lymphomas. And finally, diseases such as multiple myeloma. And to explain them simply, the leukemias are blood cancers where the cancer cells are primarily coming from the bone marrow and we detect them in the blood. The lymphomas are blood cancers that occur more as a solid tumor in something that we call lymph nodes, and lymph nodes are throughout our body. And many people may experience swollen, we often call them glands, swollen glands. If they have a throat infection, a viral infection, they can feel the tender glands in their neck. In lymphoma, those same glands that we call lymph nodes may be enlarged, and they're not very tender. They're not painful, and that may be something that would worry us about it being cancerous. And finally, multiple myeloma. These are also cancers of the blood system, but often they can grow in the bones and damage the bones. The symptoms of blood cancers can be very nonspecific, meaning they don't just jump out at you and tell you that it's a blood cancer. So some of these very general nonspecific symptoms can be fatigue, fever, chills, drenching night sweats. And when a doctor says drenching night sweats, they really mean getting so sweaty that you have to change your pajamas because they're feeling wet all over. Unusual weight loss, shortness of breath, all of these things are very, you know, there could be 10 or 100 causes of any of these symptoms, but these non-specific symptoms are often the presenting symptoms of blood cancers. Some other symptoms may be easy bruising or easy bleeding, where you brush against something and you're bruising, which normally would not be the case for you, or you have a nosebleed or recurrent gum bleeding when you brush your teeth. And again, these may have many causes. So the best thing to do if these symptoms come on and they persist is just see your primary care doctor, your general physician, and let them evaluate you. And often they will pick up hints that there is something more serious going on with routine blood work, including blood counts. Mm-hmm. And what we often see with these blood cancers is the normal blood counts, such as the platelets, which help our blood clot, may be low, or the red blood cells may be very low. We may be anemic. And then the white blood cells may either be very high due to cancerous cells in the circulation or actually be very low. And at that point, the GP or the primary care doctor may refer you to a specialist, and then the specialist would do additional tests to try to determine the diagnosis.
Okay. So how are blood cancers usually diagnosed then?
Yeah, absolutely. So what the hematologist oncologist does, and that's you know what I do, is we look at the blood test. We may send out more specialized blood tests, tests such as flow cytometry that may identify if there are abnormal white blood cells in circulation. A very common test to help diagnose hematologic malignancies or blood cancers is a bone marrow biopsy. The bone marrow is the factory for all of our blood cells, our white blood cells, red blood cells, our platelets. And in an adult, the only places where our bone marrow is active is our breastbone or sternum and our pelvis. And so the bone marrow biopsy that's done in the office is often done in the hip. And this is an office procedure. It's not a surgery. It can be done in 15, 20 minutes. And it's a needle being put into the hip after appropriate numbing of the area. And a sample is taken out. And that can be analyzed by the pathologist in the lab. And finally, if we have these swollen glands that we call lymph nodes, and if there's suspicion that they may be swollen because of a blood cancer, such as a lymphoma, they may be biopsied. Often they're biopsied with a needle. We call that a core needle biopsy, often done by a radiologist. Again, very much a same-day procedure. Occasionally, they require a surgical biopsy to be done by a surgeon in the operating room to remove an entire lymph node so that it can be analyzed by the pathologist in the lab. But blood tests, bone marrow biopsy, lymph node biopsies are the majority of the tests that we do to establish a diagnosis.
Okay. So can you talk a little about the treatments for these diseases, including clinical trials, CAR, T-cell therapy, and blood and marrow transplant?
Absolutely. And before I touch on those, let me just add two more common tests, just so I'm complete,
sure.
In addition to the ones I just mentioned. The tests I mentioned were to establish a diagnosis, but another test or test that we do commonly to see where the disease has spread would include CAT scans and a special type of scan called a PET scan that people may have heard of. And those are used primarily in our lymphomas and our multiple myeloma, not so much required for acute leukemias. So treatments. So the treatments really have changed over the years, and you touched on some, including CAR T-cell therapy and bone marrow transplant that I'll try to explain a little bit about. The conventional treatments include chemotherapy that almost everyone has heard of and is scared by. And chemotherapy, those are the medicines that we use that kill any dividing cell without really too much discrimination between a healthy cell and a cancerous cell. And that's why people who are on chemotherapy may have side effects such as hair loss that we've all noticed if someone's on chemo. And that's because those healthy, normal hair follicles are dividing cells. So they're as affected by the chemotherapy as any cancer cell is. Now, beyond chemotherapy, more recently, there have been a number of what we call targeted therapies that are developed. Some are intravenous, many are oral. Tablets or pills or capsules that we can take that are focused on a specific abnormality of the cancer cell such that their side effects on the rest of the person are not negligible but much less than chemotherapy, because really the action of the medicine is focused on fighting the cancer cell. And one example that we often use as a paradigm to kind of describe this is the treatment of a type of leukemia called chronic myelogenous leukemia, or CML. And CML is driven by a certain mutation. There's a chromosomal abnormality that we call the Philadelphia chromosome, or translocation of chromosome 922. And what this does is it sets up a abnormal gene called the BCR-ABL, that's not seen in other cells. It's really that mutation drives the cancer. So scientists you know, discovered all of this. They purified the Abl kinase, which is the protein, and they developed chemicals that can block that the abnormal protein and really treat this disease very effectively. And I've seen the advance in the treatment of CML in my own career. So when I was a fellow, so when I was learning oncology after I'd qualified as a medical doctor in internal medicine, I did 3 years of fellowship, as we all do. Mm-hmm. And during that time, we were still treating patients with CML with chemotherapy, and then the younger ones trying to get them to a bone marrow transplant to cure them. And during that period, the first of the targeted therapies for this particular disease came out, a drug called imatinib or Gleevec. And now we have a number of drugs similar to that. They're all tablets. They're all oral. And so now in 2021, a patient with CML would be diagnosed. And if they have the chronic phase of the disease, there's no chemotherapy. There's no bone marrow transplant. There's literally a prescription and a tablet they take at home, and people can be in remission and live normal lives. And we know now that patients with CML and chronic phase have a survival that's essentially identical to people their same age who don't have any cancer. And they're just taking a tablet a day as if, you know, they were taking a tablet for cholesterol or high blood pressure or something else. In this case, they're taking a specific tablet that treats their leukemia very successfully.
Well, that is fantastic, doctor, to hear. Yep. Like, it's like we hear like cancer meaning a huge treatment. And if you can just do everything on your own, staying at home and just having a pill, as you said, you're taking a blood pressure, blood sugar or a cholesterol pill. That is fantastic. I mean, the science has grown so big now.
It absolutely has. And again, I don't want to overstate for people that there's a pill for every cancer, but we really are doing a lot of research. Cancer researchers in the lab, clinical researchers like me who work with patients to try to improve the outcome mm-hmm. of our patients and reduce the side effects. So I will touch on, and I don't want to go over time, but a very important aspect of that nowadays is incorporating the patient's immune system to fight their own cancer. And I'll touch briefly on that with this CAR T cell therapy that's gotten a lot of press in the last few years.
Please.
And what that does is it takes T cells, a type of immune cell, from the patient's own cells. It takes them to a lab. In the lab, the cells are modified or engineered to recognize the patient's blood cancer. And CAR T cell therapy currently has been approved for certain types of lymphoma and certain types of leukemia. So the cell is engineered so that it can recognize the blood cancer, and then it's given back to the patient. So they're receiving their own cells back into their body, and those cells then go to work in finding the cancer cells and killing them off. And really, CAR-T therapy has revolutionized the treatment of a number of things, including diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, recently approved by the FDA for follicular lymphoma, approved for a type of leukemia called acute lymphoblastic leukemia, and in research studies in many other types of cancers, both blood cancers and solid tumors. But really a whole new concept, harnessing the patient's immune system to fight the patient's cancer.
Okay. So now can you also talk about any current or important research you are working on relating to blood cancer?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, here at Rutgers CINJ, all the groups and all the specialists, we're academics and we do a lot of research, including clinical trials looking at new treatments for the various diseases that we specialize in. And in my particular case, although there are a lot of trials that I run, I'd highlight another strategy for harnessing the patient's immune system. I've been involved with a type of drug called a bispecific antibody, and again, meant to use the immune system to fight the patient's cancer. This type of medicine is only experimental. It's not yet FDA approved, so I want to be clear about that. But there are a number of companies who have developed these and a number of clinical trials at the major cancer centers going on, including at Rutgers CINJ. Mm-hmm. And what they do is, rather than taking the cells out of the body to engineer them in a lab and then return to the body in a few weeks, like the CAR T cells, these medicines are given directly to the patient. So we call them off the shelf. They're ready to go. Mm-hmm. And they, in the end, do about the same thing. They activate the patient's T cells. The bispecific antibody then acts as sort of a glue or a staple or Velcro, whatever you want to call it, to get the immune cell stuck to the target cancer cell. And the immune cell, the patient's own immune cell, kills their cancer cells. And again, we've had good experience in our clinical trials with this type of therapy in patients who come to us having had a number of standard treatments, which eventually have stopped working for them, and sometimes using their own immune system works very nicely in treating their disease.
Okay. Listeners, we are talking to Dr. Banerjee from Rutgers Cancer Institute of New Jersey, along with Robert Wood Johnson, Barnabas Health, and he is a chief of hematologic malignancies. So with that, also, if you want to get in touch with the hospital, you can visit rwjbh.org/beatcancer. Again, it is rwjbh.org/beatcancer. So with that said, doctor, so why should patients be treated at an NCI designated cancer center like Rutgers Cancer Institute and Robert Wood Johnson Barnabas Health?
Absolutely. So an NCI designated cancer center is a center that's specialized in cancer from the point of view of research, from the laboratory, understanding the biology, understanding prevention, understanding population health, all the way to treatment of cancers using new treatments in the context of clinical trials. We, as a NCI-designated cancer center, are not there to in any way, shape, or form replace or compete with community oncologists, where there is a resource for community oncologists. So typically, I would say, in common cancers, when they've gotten to the point where the known traditional treatments have stopped working, referral to a cancer institute is appropriate, because then patients have the option of then pursuing experimental treatments. Another use of a cancer center like ours is in common cancers that may have some features that make them very high risk, where we know that the conventional treatments don't have a great chance of working. Again, referral to a cancer center allows patients to access clinical trials that may give them a better outcome, or at least the possibility of that. And finally, rare cancers. So cancers that are not commonly encountered. Again, an NCI-designated cancer center may have specialists who work only with that rare cancer. And so although the cancer may be rare or unusual in the community, finding the right specialist who only works with that cancer may also be helpful for the patient. So we're a resource within the Barnabas system to help out the many oncologists who are working in the community.
Excellent. So, Doctor, how do blood cancers impact the South Asian community specifically, as we are talking to South Asians to listen to the show? So can you tell us about that?
I can, and I will say for this, I did a little bit of research this morning looking into the literature. And the South Asian, from what I've seen both in studies in the U.S. and in U.K., where, of course, a lot of South Asians have lived for many years, it looks like the incidence of many of our common lymphomas and leukemias are slightly less than it is for the native European population or the U.S. population. That being said, because there are so many South Asians in the U.S., we routinely see patients in our own practice here in New Brunswick of South Asian background. Whether they have leukemia, lymphoma, myeloma, we treat many patients whose, whether the patient themselves or their families came from India or Pakistan, Bangladesh, Nepal, etc., Sri Lanka. Mm-hmm. So even though the risk of these diseases or the incidence may be a little bit lower in the South Asian population, we still see them, and we see them commonly. So again, if a patient has those symptoms I talked about, they're very nonspecific. So if you have a fever and chills, you don't need to run to your doctor saying, do I have cancer? But if those symptoms don't go away in the few days that you think would be, you know, normal for a passing cold or what have you, then you should just see your primary care not, again, not because it's going to be cancer, but let them check you out. Mm-hmm. And that's how we do find these patients, when we can catch them at an earlier point in their disease, rather than when they feel very sick and they come to the emergency room on their own, and then we find that the disease may have been more progressed.
So, doctor, quickly, this is one of the questions I want to ask. Like, now in this COVID time, like, as you said, mm-hmm. little fever, chills and all. So those are the common symptoms for COVID as well sometimes, right? So how mm-hmm. do they identify that, whether it could be something COVID-related, or is it cancer, or what precautions they should take at that point? Because if they have cancer, the immunity and everything goes pretty down, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right on all those counts. So, you know, for a lot of those things, being seen by a doctor and being tested is critical. And I say that because many of us, me included, don't like going to see the doctor. That's just human nature. That's our natural tendency. But if we're feeling sick and it's, you know, more, either we're much sicker than is normal, or we're feeling sick, you know, mildly run down, but longer than we feel we should, mm-hmm. you should check your primary care doctor. Now, what can they do? They can test for COVID. There are rapid tests done that can be checked in the office, tests that maybe take one day to come back, and they can absolutely tell you yes or no, you have COVID. Number two, very easily, without any fancy testing, they can do lab work. Again, if the lab work is particularly suspicious, then they can do additional testing to figure out, what's going on. So I think the main thing is, if you're not getting better in a couple of days or a day or two, or you're feeling very sick, all of us as adults should have primary care doctors. For our kids, we should have pediatricians, and we should get checked out when we're feeling sick.
Excellent, doctor. A lot of great and very, very informative information you gave to our listeners and to us. I greatly thanking you from bottom of my heart for coming on EBC Radio and sharing all your knowledge. So again, listeners, we were talking to Dr. Rajat Banerjee. And for more information about blood cancers and hematologic malignancies program at Rutgers Cancer Institute of New Jersey in partnership with Robert Wood Johnson Barnabas Health, visit rwjbh.org/beatcancer. Again, it's rwjbh.org/beatcancer. So thank you so much, doctor, for coming on EBC Radio.
Oh, thank you very much, Alka, for having me on the radio.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.